All right, I'm going to burp, and then I'm going to start.
That's where you start.
Have the burp button ready to go. See, there you go.
Muted your burp. All right.
It's the burp button. You don't have to hear me burp.
I was looking forward to it, but it's okay. All right.
I'll save it for the end. Well, that's the bonus content. That's the Patreon episode this week is just me burping for 20 minutes.
Eat picks and burps. The J Light only.
The J Light experience. That's what you get if you subscribe to the Blockbusting Patreon, everybody. You get feet picks and burp audio. Burp ASMR.
I'll spend my entire fortune on that, which is like $12.
that'll get you actually, you can get a full year worth of that. Or 6 months. I think it's $2. Anyway.
Wow, it's a bargain. I digress.
Look at this. We're talking about the Blockbusting Patreon because we're here on Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. Hey, everybody. I'm your host, Jay Light. Seamless intro. And joining me today, my guest, the wonderful Everett Byram.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me, Jay. I hate movies, so this is a perfect podcast for me to be a guest on.
Yes. It's a wonderful movie that you've chosen to hate, by the way, because it's a kids movie. It bums me out when kids movies don't even take like the effort to try and be good. Mm. And this movie absolutely does that. And it is D3, The Mighty Ducks.
It's not that I even hate it because I've seen it 50 plus times in my adult life, childhood, probably 100. But it's just that it's, as far as trilogies go, it's one of my favorite trilogies, but it was like, the goodness of it was cut short at D3 because D1 and D2 were phenomenal movies.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Outstanding.
And D3 kind of shit the bed a little.
Yeah. And you
shit the Zamboni.
Dude, I can only imagine if you're somebody who's watched this movie a bunch as a child and as an adult, you have a really fine-tuned vision of where this movie went wrong. Because this is the first time, when I was watching it yesterday to prep, this is the first time I'd ever seen it. I'd seen Mighty Ducks. I'd seen D2. You know, I remember when the Bash Brothers showed up and the knuckle puck became a thing. I remember finding out as an adult that I somehow glossed over the fact that Emilio Estevez is an alcoholic and that's why he had to join up in the first place to do his community service.
It's so relatable.
So relatable. I get that. Look, I understand. Look, I'll probably see him in a meeting. But this movie really just is the lowest effort possible into making a movie involving the Mighty Ducks. And also, Emilio Estevez is the star of this movie. He gets top billing. He pulls like a Dame Judi Dench in Shakespeare in Love in this movie and is only in there for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's been my first point on why this movie sucks, because he's largely absent. Besides, like, one, like, his, like, star, like, shining scene was when he was just being, like, all litigious and doing all this, like, pro bono lawyer work about the scholarships for some, like, high school, a private high school.
Uh-huh.
And, like, all these old, like, members of the board of this high school that, like, they're so into this high school for whatever reason, like, their legacy or whatever, and they're, like, they really want these like skanky kids from Minneapolis where to get the fuck out of there because they don't belong with Eden Hall. Like they're not warriors, you know, they're ducks. Right. And of course the adults that are like 60 years old live their entire life. What they care about is the legacy of their school being tainted by these skanks basically.
Yes.
But Gordon Bombay goes in there and he rips them a new one. He's like, no, these kids do belong here. And he uses all his, lawyer alcoholic skills from the past and he saves the day really.
Right. Which by the way, his lawyer alcoholic skills barely on display even in that sequence. Cause all he says is you don't have any cause to get rid of these kids' scholarships and I'm going to tie you up in legal battle for years. Yeah. You're going to be.
And they're like, oh, shucks. My plans were foiled. Oh, he's got us. Like, yeah, he wasn't even being a great lawyer. He was threatening to be a great lawyer.
Yeah, he just literally at one point he says, I'm very good. I'm very good at being a lawyer.
And they're all whispering like, oh, shit, he's really good. He just said so. Yeah. Like, that's a lot of power. So you got to give it to him for that. But that's another point I wanted to bring up about why this movie just doesn't hold up, doesn't hold a candle to the first two. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get this straight. For a kids movie, Gordon Bombay is a sex man. He is a fuck freak. He loves to fuck, you know?
Yes.
First movie, he's all like grooming Charlie Conway to get with the mom, and he works at a diner and stuff. Classic, right. Like single mom. Not even that hot, but like he like, oh yeah, Charlie, you're the best kid. You're the best. He's like, he's a like moderate, like decent player, probably like 70 overall. If this is like NHL,
NHL
street. 92. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And
NHL hits.
I mean, he went through that much trouble and just to get with the mom. And I think he used his like lawyer background as a, like a manipulative tool.
Yes. Yeah, well, he's sort of a villain, but also he has to go through his redemption arc in the first movie to become the hero coach that everybody, you know, that we all know is deep inside him as Gordon Bombay.
Right, and you think that redemption arc is over. No, he's got more to do in the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all full of himself because he has like headshots taken and like professional pictures of him like promoting a hockey brand for children or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he thinks it's a big shot. They even played the song Mr. Big Shot or Mr. Big Stuff, something like that. Really cheesy song, but it basically like the song kind of like reinforced the narrative of like what he was doing. This is D2. This is good. This is a good stuff I'm talking about.
Right.
But and so in D2, he upped his fuck game by not only getting with Michelle McKay, the team's tutor, who was like kind of hot, she's fine, but then the Iceland lady, like she was like bananas hot, like smoking blonde. That's who he wanted. Like I don't think he spoke to Michelle McKay again after that. He was like, no, I'm done with this. It's time for the Iceland lady. And he even got caught by the Bash Brothers. And they're eating ice cream like on like Venice Boardwalk or something. And they're like, oh, eating ice cream with the enemy, coach.
Yep.
Like you can tell these teens were not yet sexually active because like, of course he would. Like, you know, like junior Goodwill Games hockey is it's a big deal, right? You're representing your country. But also getting your dick wet is a big deal, especially when there's a foreign chick that he can just bang for the like entirety of like the 2 weeks that they're there or whatever for that tournament. She goes back to Iceland. He can go back to Charlie's mom, the tutor. Like he's got a plan, and it's pretty sinister.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden we get to now we've passed all of these places.
That's the good stuff. Yeah, that's the good stuff is over.
Good stuff's done. We get to D3, which starts off with you know they won the Goodwill Games. They are awarded JV hockey scholarships to this prep school, Eden Hall Academy. And Coach Bombay attended it and he's like super stoked on them going there. And then all of a sudden, Coach Gordon Bombay, who again, Emilio Estevez, top billing in this movie, talks to Charlie and says, hey, I'm not coming with you guys. I got offered a position with the Goodwill Games, so I'm splitting. Bye bye. And then
Charlie's all like, but Disney is paying you millions. You're the top billed cast member and you're just going to be gone. Like,
and he's like, honestly, let me explain to you how billing works in the movie, kid.
Yeah. I don't know. The Disney execs should have stepped in there. But I have a theory that there was no Junior Goodwill Games committee or whatever he was joining. He was planning to be largely absent from the D3 experience due to his rigorous fuck schedule. He probably found like after winning the Junior Goodwill Games, he's a pussy magnet.
He's got to be total swimming in single mom puss.
Yeah, every woman in Minneapolis is going to be like, wow, he went to LA once and he coached some kids and beat the mean team of 30-year-olds that where they were playing against from Iceland. And so they just won him after that. But yeah, he just dips out. I mean, I won't let my wife watch that movie because I think she would leave me for Gordon Bombay, the character that Emilio Estevez played, you know?
Yeah.
He's smooth.
He's real smooth. And we have, so now the movie, instead of becoming watching Gordon Bombay learn to handle his lawyer alcoholic fuck powers for good and help kids coach kids across the finish line, now we have to watch a bunch of shitty kids who think they're hot shit and kind of are a little bit until, I mean, there's
one
so
of the
many
Junior Goodwill games. All right. That's a big deal.
But here's the thing. So, okay. So they get brought in, they have this coach who's like a former NHL player who all of them hate, even though he's supposed to be even coach. Yeah. He gets the Gordon Bombay seal of approval. He's like, look, this guy, me and him, we go way back. All right. We came up together. He's great. Trust this man. Everybody immediately distrusts this man because he's not Gordon Bombay. And right. They don't, you know, they fight, they don't listen to him. And, you know, he really plays hard ass. He keeps them from going. He's like, you guys got to get out of the locker room in 15 minutes. You're not allowed to say quack. You're not even allowed to reference that you're ducks.
Like total hard ass. And that's, I think, was detrimental to the film itself. Because Gordon Bombay had that comic relief, even when they were like heavy parts, and the kids like played into that too. Even when they were at odds, they would play off each other with the humor, and it was feel good. And this is just, like, it's a conflict that we've never seen before, which I think Disney maybe was just trying to like broaden like the deepness of the movie, and like but it didn't work. You know, like you need that coach and player dynamic. Where they're not at odds, and if they are, it's funny. You know, this wasn't funny. It was just tension.
Yeah, this isn't fucking Rudy or Moneyball. We didn't sign up to watch D3 the Mighty Ducks because we wanted to watch disagreements that are dramatic between the players and the coaches. We wanted to watch people, you know, like fat guy skating. We wanted to watch fat guy skating down a street, which is great.
Exactly. It's hilarious. And yeah, you don't get that. We don't want to watch good hockey players. We want to see a ragtag group of individuals that shouldn't make it.
Yeah,
but they do. Like they overcome all odds and they win. They win like these Junior Goodwill games.
Junior Goodwill games.
It's huge. And also a little sidebar. In the first movie, I love how the paper was always like the local newspaper was covering these like games. Not even like championships. But like just the individual games of this Pee Wee Hockey League. It's like District 5. Like how many districts are there in Minnesota or Minneapolis, the city? And like,
who knows? I mean, if I can imagine.
Good journalism.
Like, I grew up in Texas. In Texas, they cover all of the high school football for like every, there's I think 7 divisions of high school football.
Okay.
And my, you know, reading like the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, they covered all of it, which they didn't have to.
That's just good journalism.
It's just good journalism. You know, they care about, like, I'm sure Minnesota, like, hockey for children is the same as football for children. You know?
Yeah.
With, I get probably less head injuries and more fighting. It's a great time.
Yeah.
But
kids love fighting.
Kids love fighting. That's why you put them in hockey and football.
Yeah.
But, okay, sports, so, love it. So we are, here's, speaking of how much people care about hockey in this movie, the reason why the kids lose their scholarships at the end of the movie, or almost lose their scholarships, is because they have poor performance over the course of the season. But we never actually see them play more than one hockey game that actually counts for the whole season.
Yeah, I think they had some big lead where they were showboating, and they end up making it be a tie. Like they didn't even have a loss on their schedule.
They went up by 10 points and they were doing all the tricks. They were doing the knuckle puck. They were doing the flying V and Goldberg was doing his thing being a fat goalie and everything was
funniest
great.
Goalie of all time.
Yeah. Well, cause
like Julie, the Cat Gaffney from Bangor, Maine, like she's a great goaltender. Don't get me wrong, but she isn't as funny as Goldberg.
Right. You can't beat a fat kid as in terms of comedy.
Hilarious.
Fat guy always wins.
Yeah, and fat guys always fart too. Do you notice that? Like in 90s movies, like it's always fat people that fart. Julie, like, it's never on screen. She never farts on screen. You know she's farting, but
because she's that's a human problem. Being,
right? I mean, her nickname's a cat, Julie the Cat Gaffney, but she's really Julie the Human Gaffney, the human who farts Gaffney. Yes. Is what I would call her. But that's another problem with the way the trilogy just fizzled out. Because in the first movie, Gordon Bombay drives out on the ice. His new fuck buddy comes out and she's like, oh, you don't drive on the ice, it's endangering children, which definitely is. Shouldn't do that. But he knows because he's Gordon Bombay. Mm-hmm. But while they're in that, his kid's first time being in a limo, I guess, like they get super fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Goldberg like lets out a stinker and everyone's like, oh, Goldberg. And they all know it's him because he's fat. Because
he's fat and only fat guys fart.
Yeah. And it's stinky and hilarious. Like those were the funniest parts of the movie. Second movie, very early on, they're introducing all the newcomers because I guess some of the cast couldn't make it, wouldn't sign on for the second movie, which is fine. That'd make room for Keenan as well. But Dean Portman, who became a Bash brother with Fulton Reed, of course.
Right.
He farts when they're all tied up together for whatever reason by Dwayne's lasso. They do like the lasso tricks as part of the warm up, which is completely stupid. And that's something that Coach O'Ryan was like very based on. Like, why would you do like these Texas lasso things? You're from Texas. You should know.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
it doesn't apply to hockey. People. Maybe in football, but not hockey. So like
just a bad idea.
It's dangerous and just overall stupid. Doesn't really help with any skills, but I digress about lassos. Let's see here. So we got them all in there, lassoed together. Someone lets out another stinker out their butt, and everyone automatically thinks it's Goldberg because he's fat. You know? Right. But it wasn't him this time. Not in this movie. It's a little twist around. It's actually Dean Portman, and he's like, woo, I farted. And everyone, he's like, yeah. He's like really proud of himself for like farting and stinking up the whole lasso troop. And that's the last of the farts we get from the Mighty Ducks trilogy. Because in the third one, like, what, you don't not fart when you're in prep school? Is it not, like, proper? Like, you know those guys were farting, but they don't even get the fart on screen. Like, it's not funny if there's no farts.
No.
No one just watches it for hockey. No one likes hockey. You like farts in hockey.
That's the majority of why this movie isn't funny, is because there's no farts. Yeah. Like, all of the big comedy moments that could have been super great, they didn't exist. Compared to what happened, like we had, okay, sure. You have a kid who doesn't understand the Texas kid who doesn't understand big words. So Kenan Thompson says like loose sphincter and.
Oh yeah. Shrinking sphincter.
Shrinking sphincter. That's right.
Yeah. He's like,
it's so absurd. Cause the kid's like, oh yeah, I still don't know what that means either. But Kenan's like, he's talking about a butt.
Yeah, he got the Texas kid. Like, Texas kids don't know all the words for anus.
Yeah.
You don't teach them that in school.
And you, like, you know, your classic children doing pranks. You get kids letting dangerous fire ants loose inside of people's beds while they're sleeping.
Yeah, and they had, like, the other team, like, the varsity team, which, by the way, those guys were definitely, a lot of the actors were, like, 28 years old during the time of filming. They're not, like... They're like senior varsity, and I mean like post-college age.
Yeah.
But anyway, they have like welts on their face from these ants. Like, what if these guys were like allergic or something? They could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
Like a fart has never killed somebody. Ants could probably kill somebody. If they're poisonous, like, come on.
It's implied
irresponsible.
That the Texas kid lassoed one of the players, played by the great actor Michael Kudlitz. Lassoed him. And by the way, I don't know how anyone is going to see that happen and not know that it's the Texas kid who has literally carried a lasso around the entire movie up to this point.
Yeah, and to our knowledge, he's the only person that has a lasso. Right. That's kind of his thing. That's like and I think you should leave when the hot dog guy crashes in. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, we're all trying to figure out who did this.
It's the lasso.
That's the only
guy.
Clearly, the fucking guy wears a cowboy hat every single day and carries a lasso with him. He shouldn't even be allowed to take that to school. Like,
no. And where did he get a horse from?
It's a prep school. They have, I mean, you know, that we're playing polo.
Oh yeah. They got dressage. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They got
but he stole the horse. He didn't have permission. You can't get permissions on like taking out a horse at night. Mm-hmm. Horses are expensive animals. Come on. Like,
yeah. Well, it's also it's implied that he lassos Michael Kudlitz and then drags him behind the horse. and leads him to die, which is just like too much. They're trying to kill these people.
I mean, I know you Texas guys are ruthless, but
I would I would never drag an enemy of mine behind a horse as a teenager.
Yeah, me neither. Rude. I maybe now, like, depending on what they did, you know, if they, like, I don't know, like, tried to shoot me up in a saloon or something. But yeah,
listen, if they spit in the wrong spittoon and I had already claimed that spittoon, then yeah, maybe you get a dragon. But
yeah, if I'm catch me in the right mood and I'll drag you behind my horse that I steal. Like, it might happen, but not when you're a teenager. Come on. No, like, you're supposed to be more wholesome than that.
Right. You should save all the dragging behind horses for when you're an adult and you understand the ramifications of what it means to drag somebody behind a horse.
Yeah, that's literally like a death sentence. Like, I'm going to kill you. It's if nothing else, it's torture. And like, that's like probably some cowboy mafia stuff. You know? Yeah,
they literally, they have that. And this is all in retaliation, by the way, to them making the junior varsity Mighty Ducks kids pay for the bill at an expensive steak and seafood restaurant.
Yeah.
It was so they're like we're going to cause so much bodily harm to these adults.
Yeah. And they didn't even pay for it. What they did was wash dishes. They all washed dishes, which is like a one or two person job. They were all back there in the kitchen washing dishes. Like, that's how they're going to pay for their tab. Like, I don't think that's how it works. Like, OSHA regulations, like W-2s, like,
I mean, this is the 90s, so maybe they were still allowed to hire teenagers for their
right, Fortnite. Yeah, these kids are 14. Charlie's, like, come out and Stacy's 14. They're freshmen. They're ninth graders. They're children. And also, that bill, like, I get inflation and stuff, but the bill was, like, I think it was, like, $700. It wasn't, like, that's a lot, but for, like, two full hockey teams, like, that's a steal. You're getting away, like, for prime rib.
Yeah, for prime rib and lobster and crab.
Yeah.
They got, like, full king crabs.
Dude, they were eating their fill too. Like, it wasn't like, I don't know if they had some sort of like private banquet, like all you can eat type situation, like with the restaurant. But I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how they even got pinned with the bill just because the other guys left. The other guys made the reservation. Like, their name is on there, and I feel like you would probably have to put a credit card down for that sort of like. It seemed like a private banquet room.
Yeah,
like. There was
a custom cake made. I mean, that alone is going to cause like that. You have to at least put in a special order for that from either the bakery on site or some extra bakery who, and then you got to pay a cake cutting fee.
Right. And I can't remember if there's any like gratuity added, but a part of that size, you're definitely going to have like automatic gratuity. Cause like the servers are
automatically 10% or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was probably at least two people on that party, you know?
Yeah.
So like, did they get screwed? Like, did they get screwed on the gratuity? Like, did Mighty Ducks come to their personal abodes and wash their dishes? I don't know.
I mean, if you really look at it, especially, you know, talking inflation, minimum wage at that time is what? $7 an hour, maybe $8.
Oh, less than that. I grew up in Arkansas. My first job when I was 16 in like 2004 or 2006 or something, 2004 probably, I got $5.25 an hour.
Oh yeah, so it's probably
washing dishes at a Chinese restaurant. So I mean, I assume like the Chinese to steak and seafood like discrepancy of pay for dishwashers isn't that high,
right?
But like, also,
it's not like a fine dining restaurant where like as a waiter you get a higher baseline minimum because you have to know more stuff than at like a Chili's or a TGI Fridays or PF Chang's to keep it in the Chinese food realm.
Right. Yeah. That's,
but yeah, you don't have to have the extra dishwashing training. No.
Right. It's got to be able to spray stuff.
So there's no way that these kids would be making enough to pay off that bill in one night of washing dishes and cleaning the restaurant.
Right. And having all of them work at the same time, like, counting against their labor on the books like that, it's not viable, not economically viable. And
you make them say, do they have to, you know, fill out a W-2 or a W-9? Are they independent contractors? Is this taxed?
Right. Yeah. Like, I think the IRS should be investigating the steak and seafood establishment and their questionable ethics. Yeah. Well,
it's gotta be a tax shelter. I mean, that's the biggest problem I did have with this movie is that like kids movies can, I think kids movies are allowed to have some license in terms of like doing stuff that doesn't make 100% logical sense. 100% of the time, because it's a kid's movie. Kids' brains are crazy and they don't really give a shit about logic necessarily.
Yeah, you believe stuff and you don't care about like IRS or taxation, like
right,
like evasion, you know, like it just, you just take it as it is, you know.
But the thing with D3 the Mighty Ducks is that it takes so much license to have stuff that doesn't make sense the entire way through. Like this scene doesn't make any fucking sense. The fact that the kids who are about to lose their scholarships because they tied one game and never played any other games the entire rest of the season, all of a sudden that means that they are, they're worthy of losing their scholarships because they played one game and it was a tie, even after they scored 10 points.
Yeah. And it's not even that their grades were bad, because it showed them actually learning and getting their grades up, because in the words of Coach O'Ryan, if it's not B's or better, then you're riding the pine pony, which means the bench.
Yes. I mean, they even talked about kids being A students. The announcer, the plucky announcer kid who clearly did all of his lines in ADR in a voice booth, he was talking you know, Connie Moreau, she's a straight A student. Julie the Cat Gaffney, great goalie and straight A student.
He did his research on his peers. Why was that guy? Was he getting paid for that? Another like questionable
thing. Like, know,
he was announcing every game, and that we know of anyway. And he was on the radio as well. And he was just doing this by himself, like a 14-year-old kid, like basically running his own, like the equivalent of like a sports podcast, a live sports podcast today. Yeah. And he's also like his own, like his commentator stuff. And first of all, you don't have that live at the game, really, like over the speakers and everything. That's kind of like a separate, like
it's a whole broadcast. Separate broadcast system. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like,
that was something as a kid I noticed too. That was one of my problems. Like as a kid, I even had that, like, cause I watched a bunch of hockey and sports as a kid. Like I know how this stuff works, and it's crazy. And this kid was like producing this all by himself, it seemed like.
Which is, yeah, that's just too much to put on a 15-year-old kid. You can't expect somebody to produce like multiple levels of broadcast and keep track of the score.
Yeah. And even if he did, like, why is he put in charge of that? It's like some severe nepotism going on. Like, who is his dad? His dad was like,
his clearly dad was one of the people on the board. The
board. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think
it's all about mystery.
Also, Another weird element. So in the very end in the game, they have to, you know, win their scholarship, or not win their scholarship, but they have to they have to prove their worth as a team in the big JV versus varsity game. And this is when the coach, you know, we finally find out why Coach Bombay loves this Coach O'Ryan, because he has a daughter who's paraplegic from a car accident, and you have to show off Charlie Conway. Hey, don't be a dick to this guy. His daughter's paralyzed.
Yeah, like he's been through a lot, but I'm not going to tell you that until it's like kind of too late and your relationship with him is like extremely fractured.
Yeah.
You know, like Bombay could have been like, he was in so much of a hurry to go have sex with all these crazy women that he couldn't just bring that up to Charlie. Like, hey, this new guy's really good. Bit of a hard ass. Might say the words pine pony, which is kind of weird. But he has a disabled daughter and he did it all for her. Like he is working hard. He's a family guy. He's good. Like he could have told Charlie that and he would have had way more like sympathy for him and understanding going in. Mm-hmm. And that was just like Bombay's horniness just getting in the way.
Right. And that's why you never trust you shouldn't trust a horny lawyer. He's not going to give you the full facts.
No,
he's going to leave some stuff under the radar.
You know, he is a Eden Hall Academy high school alumni, so that's why they even gave him time of day in there. But I think he was doing that with extremely selfish motives. Like, he didn't want his name at Eden Hall tarnished. I was like, oh, he brought in all these like hockey players that are undefeated, just have ties and straight A students, but we're going to kick him out of here. Like, he didn't want his name tarnished by all these like bad seeds. Which basically, and it's because they're inner city kids and basically just skanks. And these fuckers at Eden Hall are a bunch of cake eaters. Which I had never heard that term ever in the history of cinema or on the street until Mighty Ducks. where Jesse Hall, who's one of the best players on the team, he and his brother in the movie, who's actually Jussie Smollett, who is a disgraced actor.
Right. In the original. Yeah. Who doesn't make it into D3, but he's heavy part of the original two.
Well, yeah, he was one of the best, and he didn't get the scholarship. They don't even bring it up. They're like, oh, we got Keenan now. We already have one black guy. That's two is too much for a hockey team.
Especially at a white prep school.
Come on, Disney.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah. There's like some crazy, like classist and racist stuff going on behind the scenes. You know,
dude, they even had a moment where like the guy, the girl who Charlie has a crush on is this activist girl who's like trying to get people to sign a petition to change the name of the Warriors because it's insensitive to Native Americans, which is like, hey,
but she was the outcast. She was like going against all the, like the rules of school. Like she didn't want to be there either.
Yeah.
Like she was probably just she did not. She liked Pantera, you know, like talks about that. She likes petitions and Pantera and doesn't care about like the legacy of the school.
She's a Dimebag Darrell fan for life.
Yeah.
She wept when she found out he died.
I think if there was a D4, the next school year, she would get Charlie Conway to smoke weed with her.
Yeah.
Do you know she was?
Oh, and then she went all about Gordon Bombay getting Charlie out of juvie for smoking pot with the other Pantera fan.
I think we could write that movie like in a day and just insert a really funny fart scene. And I think we'd be good.
Dude, Goldberg farting in jail. Hilarious.
Yeah, all the other prisoners that are in the same room as them for whatever reason, because that's how it's always depicted. Like they're all in some big like jail cell together.
And he's gonna try and blame it on a bigger guy who has crazy tattoos and a big beard.
Yeah, but they're all so disgusted by the stink of his ass. You're like, oh, I've committed murders, but this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
hilarious, right?
Hilarious.
There.
Sold. Disney Plus, buy it. Don't forget, by the way, before we put this thing to bed, lest we forget, Dean Portman, when he finally shows up, because he does show, they're originally like, he didn't take the scholarship. And then all of a sudden, they have the sequence at the very end of the big varsity versus JV hockey game, where they're like, hey, guess what? He did take the scholarship after all. He shows up. Again, just like all the other people on the other team, looks way older than everybody else on his team.
Yep.
And is overtly sexualized because he strips for the audience and the kid announcer's like, the women here love it. You know, just check out the 16-year-old's abs and pecs.
Right. And if the 15-year-old like announcer guy running his own like production or like radio broadcast, if he's noticing these women going wild, like it's a big thing. The band starts playing. Like, I guess they have bands at hockey games. I don't know. They're like,
at JV hockey games.
I remember the song. Like, he was like, he was like, and the women were like, yes, this is what I come here for. And then the next scene, he's fucking, he has pads already on, like fully dressed, like ready to be a Bash Brother again. Like, dude, you can't do that in your like 2 minute minor penalty or even 5 minute major penalty. He was throwing his pads over the glass. Like, how do you get all those back? Like,
I don't know. There's
ridiculous.
This movie, listen, children should be allowed to have a movie with logic to it and have good storytelling. Like, you can have chaotic jokes and stuff that's silly and wacky and farts and kids skating down busy highways and almost dying and pranks, all that stuff. I'm not saying any of that stuff is bad. What I am saying is bad is that you got to have some consistency. You got to have some stuff. Listen, if you're going to bill us on Emilio Estevez starring in this movie, have him be around during the movie. Don't have him off on his little off camera fuck journey.
And it didn't even show him doing that. Like it could have easily had just like one, like 2 minute scene about, wow, I'm sure I've been thinking about the Mighty Ducks lately. Like I used to fuck this one kid's mom and I had relationships with him. Adam Banks, the cake eater. I stole him from the team that all his friends were on and made him lose all of his friends and come to this team just so I could win and rub it in my former employer's face. Like he had relationships with these kids, but he only talks to Charlie once at the beginning and says, fuck you, Charlie. I'm done with your mom. I have more badge to plow. and he, you don't even see him, like, it could have easily had a scene where he's like, I'm going to go back. I can sense they're in danger. Like, my duck senses are going off. Anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, he could be in the middle of a plow sesh, and he's like, lifts his head up. He's like, oh, I really need to help the ducks. They're in danger of losing right. their scholarships. Anything. But it never cuts to him, like, on his journey to find sex.
No. Instead, we are on Charlie Conway's journey to find himself find at sex. The Mall of America.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, so Ian Fulton, who used to be older than them, like, in the first movie, and now I guess they're in the same grade. I don't know how that works. I think he's supposed to be kind of dumb. So I think he was held back a couple grades, but he's finally, like, they're all caught up. They're all freshmen in high school now. So, yeah, so Charlie and Fulton, who, by the way, on the back of his jersey, it says Fulton instead of Reed. Everyone else has the last names, but it doesn't say Reed on the back of his jersey. It says Fulton in every film. I don't know why that is. Maybe that he just wanted that. Like I said, he's kind of dumb. So
it's all so dumb.
They just let him put his first name on there, like, for whatever reason. But yeah, so they quit school, which, like, I don't know. Do these kids' parents have a say about this? Do they even know? But they somehow have all this money to, like, go to the amusement parks and get chili cheese fries, and, like, every day they're just hanging out. Like Charlie's mom works at a diner. I don't think she has, like, the money to give him, like, all this, like, allowance so he can quit school and go to amusement parks. You know, like, even in the 90s, it's got to be like $20 at least to get in there. Like, when I was that age, I never had $20. Like, that's not every day. And to get food at the amusement park, which they just barf up for going on the roller coaster anyway. It's a total waste.
I mean, don't forget, they also still have to pay off that bill from the big fancy restaurant, which they definitely haven't finished paying off.
No, yeah. How long were they even kept there? Like, washing dishes? Like, the restaurant was going to close. All this should be done. I don't know. There probably had to be some sort of, like, lawsuit going on. But we never got any closure on that, so that's pretty messed up.
The pinnacle of reviews for this movie, by the way, which was critically panned, comes from Roger Ebert, who I tend to disagree with a lot, and on this I don't disagree with him, but he's
one of the big names in film review. So I mean,
and I think this movie. This is his top line quote from his 1-star review of D3 the Mighty Ducks. D3 the Mighty Ducks is the first movie title I've seen that correctly predicts its grade on Entertainment Weekly's movie report card, a D.
Oh, brutal.
Brutal.
Oh, but how did Disney even, like, come back from that?
Listen to this. Listen to this.
I would have quit making movies.
Cogent analysis. You never heard of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks? Asks Charlie, the team's top scorer. They named a pro team after us. He uses this as a pickup line with a cute brunette. Maybe it would have worked even better if he'd added, and the same company that owns the team produced all 3 Mighty Duck movies in a transparent exercise of cross-promotion. Fuck
honestly,
you.
That's pretty brilliant advertising and marketing. Like, within the world of the book, like, the world building of the movie, they advertise... Mm-hmm. The pro team and, like, almost breaking the fourth wall, like, about the movie itself. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Like, that's good writing that you don't really catch as a kid. But now, like, I like equal parts hate it a lot. Mm-hmm. And also, like, all right, good job.
I get what they were doing. And I don't like it, but I understand it. Because now I understand capitalism way better than I did when I was a child.
Yeah, and they were just feeding it to us and... ass into trilogies everywhere.
Gobbling it up. One fat guy fart at a time.
Yep. But the third one, they traded a fat guy fart for just blatant capitalism. So, and it seemingly worked out, like, for them, I guess. Except for Roger Ebert, who could see past that veil of comedy and see what it really is. Just a big commercial for their own company.
Oh, boy. Well, Everett, I'm very glad we're able to pick apart this movie like ducks picking apart a loaf of bread
in a
pond. And thank you for finally making me watch this movie and complete the Mighty Ducks trilogy.
It's great to be able to vent, mostly is what I've been doing on this, because it's something I think about way more often than anyone should, but I do. And I watch the trilogy probably once every 2 years. It's there. So I watch it, and
it's such a
nostalgic thing from my childhood. And I like to get mad about things sometimes. So I just rewatch and be like, oh, capitalism inserted into a Disney film, you know?
Have you watched the new Mighty Ducks series?
I watched 2 episodes. All I can really tell is Emilio Estevez is back to his curmudgeon ways of hating hockey, which, like, I don't think after everything he's been through all the D's of the trilogy, I don't think he would, like, really go back to those ways. And I didn't really give it a chance, but I did really hate it. So, and it was whatever. It was just kind of like a modern day version of it. And there's actually a kid with a podcast on there. Paralleled. Yeah, a kid has a podcast about the Pee Wee team. And it's even more like ragtag, because, like, these aren't even people that ever played hockey. I watched 2 episodes. I'm probably not going to watch the rest. But it seems bad.
I'm reading the synopsis of this movie. The team, they don't even, it's all about a bunch of kids who get cut by the Mighty Ducks. So they create a new team.
Right. The Mighty Ducks became like this huge, like, corporate, like, Pee-wee hockey team. I don't know how that works. But yeah, the Mighty Ducks are like the bad kids. They're like the Hawks of the first movie. And yeah, it's all backwards. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to give it a chance.
Oh, look at this. They do have a podcaster kid. Insane. I actually might have to watch this TV series just to see what happens. I'll do that once I finish watching The Sopranos. I'm almost done.
Nice. I watched all of The Sopranos except for the very last episode, because I have this weird self-loathing. I already heard he dies, or you think he dies or something.
Yeah, we don't know. It cuts to black. I mean, I haven't seen that episode either, but I do know that scene. I've watched that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I know. So is it worth going back right now without watching the whole thing to watch? I'm going to have to watch the whole thing, because I don't remember what was happening, like, directly before that. So I'm not even sure if I would even get the final episode if I were to watch it now. So now I got to do a whole thing and watch it again. So maybe we should loop back around and have a little chat about Sopranos.
Let's do it. I'm deep enough in. I'm on the second half of season 6 is imminent.
Oh,
I'm
watching all the
stuff with the outing of Vito and Tony in the hospital and all sorts of stuff. So it's a very interesting.
I don't remember that. Yeah, talk to me about give me like 6 months.
I'll give you 6 months and then we'll catch back up and we can talk about all of the some of the greatest comedy of all time coming out of The Sopranos.
Oh, hell yeah.
Everett, where can the listeners find you on the internet if they want to try and change your mind on D3 the Mighty Ducks?
Well, they can try. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, rad_milk. There's some account like 10 years ago that never posted, some like Japanese person with rad milk without the underscore. So now I am the owner of the baneful underscore. So yeah, you can find me at rad milk online, and I'm always there. I'm never logging off. I'm on the internet way too much. And I feel like there is a lack of Mighty Ducks discourse on there. So that's what I like to provide when I'm online.
Well, that's what we get to do today. And I'm glad we get to continue the Mighty Ducks discourse and keep on quacking about it. You see what I did there?
I did.
Bringing it in for a landing.
Quack.
Quack. Quack.
And Coach Orion, he didn't even give that a chance. He's like, wait, what is this, guys? It's something you guys do because you're the Ducks?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't care. He was like, knock that off. Like, he's mean
this
about
is bullshit.
It. Like, this, yeah. Like, and Gordon didn't even tell him because they were old friends, best friends. Like, hey, we do this little thing. We say quack instead of go team or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, he didn't even warn him. I feel like, yeah, Emilio Estevez's communication was just so poor. Due to his hornitude.
Yeah. Too horny to care.
Yeah. And that's what the ultimate detriment of the Mighty Ducks D3 fell on.
He wanted to get too much of that D.
It all comes full circle.
Ducks, Dick, and Detriment. That's the Mighty Ducks. That's a real Mighty Ducks story.
Name of the game. Those are the three Ds in D3.
You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for show dates, both live and live streamed. And if you like the podcast, tell a friend, leave a review on iTunes, and consider subscribing to the Patreon, where you get bonus episodes and access to my whole film library if you pony up enough cash. And this has been Blockbusting. Everett, thanks again, dude.
Dude, thanks for having me. Like I said, I love to vent about Mighty Ducks stuff that I don't agree with. So I had a great time.
Great. It was a great time for me, too. This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.